Well, it's time to talk about all things IT and the Group Chief Information Officer at Discovery, Derek Wilcox, is with us, as is Zaid Parekh, who's the Chief Information Security Officer at Discovery. So we couldn't have a better duo to help us through the challenges that many are finding by working from home, not when to have their sleeps and their food, but actually what it means for the technology that they're busy with. Derek, just by way of background, you've been in this field since 1994. Our paths have crossed a few times in the past when you were chief executive of IS and also of Dimension Data here in South Africa. Nice to see you in this new guise at Discovery. Yours is presumably a global function now, given the way that the group is expanding.
Yes, Alec, one of the most exciting parts of Discovery is our Vitality Group initiative, through which we partner primarily with life insurers, although we're now adding the health insurance component around the world. And we provide them with actuarial know-how about how to reduce the risk in their books and therefore increase the valuation of their back books through applying our Vitality expertise in behavior change. We've developed a platform called Vitality One that we offer them as a completely new age platform, which from a technologist's perspective is obviously very exciting. It's a platform that's entirely hosted in the cloud. It's deployed in several locations around the world. And we're able to stand up a client on that platform now within about 4 to 6 weeks. So really the sort of platform you would get in a Silicon Valley startup. Very exciting.
And being based in South Africa, not a disadvantage?
It has its pros and cons, Alec. I think one of the advantages of being based in South Africa is that we have excellent technology people here. And I think the best technology people in South Africa are attracted to the financial services sector, and Discovery is certainly one of the top employers in that sector. And that does make it easier to attract and retain talent. I think if you were competing with some of the big tech companies around the world in other markets, it may be harder to attract the kind of talent that we've got.
So moving on to the big subject of the moment, people working from home within the business, and certain of your colleagues that I've spoken with, they've told me that Discovery's taken, I think Adrian Gore was saying, 10,000 people worldwide out of the office into their homes. That must have made a big difference in the way that things work centrally.
Yeah, it was quite a significant change in a very short period of time, Alec. We typically, before COVID, we would have had about 1,500 people working from home on a daily basis around the world. And we moved within a two-week period to more than 8,000 regularly working from home, and certainly over 11,000 who've logged on from home occasionally. And that was a major achievement for us. I think what it demonstrated was that having that base of the 1,500 that taught us the lessons we needed to know, and we were able to use the same technology, the same security protocols, and get people home very, very successfully. I think probably the most remarkable area for me has been that we now have over 2,000 voice-based contact center agents working from home. If you'd asked even the most optimistic technologist a few years ago, they would have said a voice-based contact center agent could never work from home, and now we have that as a normal way of doing business.
So presumably they have other contact points as well, if they are, when you say contact, is it call centers in effect?
Yes, we've sent contact center agents, call center agents home, and predominantly they are still servicing their clients through the voice mechanism, although they do also have chat functions and email servicing to augment that, but they're able to make perfectly clear voice calls from their home locations.
Derek, do you use any of the off-the-shelf software solutions like Slack or Google Hangouts or other things that generally would be used in a smaller business?
We primarily use Microsoft Teams and everything that goes with that for our internal collaboration. And the reason for that is that it integrates with our security technology very effectively, which makes it easier for us to set up and manage meetings. Slack is quite widely used in our development teams, but is not used elsewhere in the business. Slack has fantastic features as far as integration is concerned, but it is quite hard for a non-technologist to get their mind around.
Well, let's bring in Zaid Parekh now, because the next point of this discussion, Zaid, has to go to people working from home who haven't done so in the past. It must be a nightmare when you're trying to, or at least initially, when you're trying to keep the data and the whole system secure.
Yes, so thank you, Alex. So look, I think with Discovery, we were actually quite lucky. I mean, since we, about 3 years, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when we started moving into our wonderful new building, we already started with the adoption of remote work and working from home. So by far and large, our technology and security capabilities were really set up to support remote working, just not at the scale. So when lockdown started, we scrambled to increase capacity and kind of get the bells and whistles going. But I think by and large, from a capability perspective, we were sorted. The people change was a lot harder. And I think right now it's literally what a time to be an attacker with all the uncertainty, the situation going on everywhere. Spam and phishing attacks have risen tremendously in tenfold. And that's primarily the highest sort of attack vector that's being used right now. So on our side, it was more around the people factor and awareness and getting our staff to almost be more cognizant of what they're doing and how they interacting with the systems more than actually enabling the technology.
Do you have a list of do's and don'ts?
Oh, yes. And it keeps on growing. It started off with a 5-point do's and don'ts. And now as the world is changing and more collaboration tools are coming on the market and people wanting to use more and more tools, that list is growing quite a bit.
So when someone goes home and from the 11,000 people who've at least logged in at some point in time within the group, do they have to have certain technology or certain protections on their computer before they can do so?
All our endpoints are managed with our security capabilities. So the majority of our staff are connecting with Discovery-owned and managed devices. For those that don't, we've created VPN capabilities where they, if they do use their own devices, they are still protected once they, our data is still protected once they connect to our network. Activity is obviously monitored and checked.
So do you use Cloudflare or something similar?
Yeah, so we big cloud shop. We on Office 365. A lot of our Microsoft stack is in the cloud, and our Vitality platforms, etc., also sitting in the cloud.
Derek, from a more broad perspective, the movement of the business towards digital. One of the conversations I had with a colleague of yours said that you had a meeting or a launch where you had 7,000 people attending remotely. Now, that too is something, I guess, beyond our wildest dreams. You'd have to hire a number of Santon convention centers to get that number of people into a room in the past. Forget about the other transport logistics and so on. Has that brought new challenges?
Well, first of all, I think it's been a significant opportunity for us and actually been much bigger than the employee change, although probably not as widely visible. We have seen with members and brokers a significant change to digital. And interestingly enough, it's primarily been with the Gen X or older people born before 1980. I saw last week the Capgemini 2020 World Insurance Report. And it's very interesting to me that the millennials have increased their use of digital technology over the last 2 years from about 50% to just over 60%. As their preferred mechanism for interacting with insurers. But the Gen X's have gone from 30% to over 60%. And now you've got Gen X and Millennial having the same propensity to use technology or digital as their first choice for interacting with the insurance industry worldwide. And I think we're seeing that in our member base. The number of people that use the app, our various web portals, is growing tremendously. And particularly, we're seeing our intermediaries really awakening to this technology. And I think for them, the alternative was to stay at home and not be able to engage with their clients at all. So it really has been a fantastic enabler for them to keep those client relationships and to keep their business growing, during a very tough time when a lot of people are looking for that independent financial advice, are concerned about their retirement, their insurance coverage, even their banking capabilities. So that really has been quite a boon for us. And then, as you correctly said, the whole area of conferencing has grown tremendously. And just one interesting data point for you. In Discovery, on average every day, are just over 8,000 employees now working regularly from home use video conferencing technology between 1.5 and 2 hours each, which I think is quite a remarkable statistic, particularly if you take into account that some probably are not using it. So it's not smoothly distributed. I think people are spending a lot of time on these kinds of technologies and becoming very comfortable with these technologies. And I think that's not going to stop once COVID ends. That behavior is now entrenched. I think people have seen that in many instances, it's far more efficient for them to cut out travel time. And I don't think it will replace physical interaction altogether. I think there will be a time when we'll all yearn for a bit of face-to-face, actually shaking somebody's hand and having a cup of coffee together. But for many of the more administrative side of things, for training, for e-learning, I think it's a far more efficient way of running your business and running your life, and is now very comfortable for people.
It's still early days because our infections in South Africa are rising, so it'll be some months before we can really decide on this. But are you seeing a hybrid model developing in business into the future where people will work more from home but then still have the option of going into the office?
Yes, certainly our current best view is that with a few exceptions, we would still want people to come into the office to maintain that culture and that business, that feeling of being part of a business that is so important in any organization. So we still envisage a situation where people will have hot desks in the office. They won't only come in for meetings, but they'll actually come in, for instance, for a day a week or 2 days a week to ensure that they don't just have the formal interaction in the office, but they're also there for a day to just meet people informally, run into people in the corridors, at the water cooler, etc. We still think that's very important to our culture going forward. And I think many companies will find the same thing. In my previous experience, as you correctly pointed out, I had a far more global team. And in my experience there, 3 to 6 months of working from home, the novelty starts to wear off. And people actually start to long to come into the office. And I think we haven't seen that yet. I think many people are very comfortable with this at the moment, but the novelty will wear off for the majority of people.
Zaid, if the hybrid model does take off at whatever degree, you can be sure that the criminal enterprises are thinking the same way as well. And the criminal enterprises can often pay better than legitimate ones. Are you seeing much increase in cyber crime or maybe even the expertise that's being applied there?
Yes, definitely, Alex. So, I mean, it is from January this year, just from the South African context. So, I mean, globally, it's skyrocketed. But in the South African context, we've been seeing literally a double increase on attacks in different methods every single week, to a point where I think during the course of May, April, May, it's been the highest it's ever been. So from a skills perspective, definitely the attackers are changing their tactics. They're taking full advantage of the potentially unsecured networks that home users often have and compromising the home network rather than going for the corporate networks now. The infrastructure as well, the denial of service generally used to be against websites. That has shifted now to remote services infrastructure like your VPNs, etc. So that has literally taken off. The other kind of gut feeling that we have is right now the attackers are sort of spraying and praying, just trying to get a foothold. And within the next 6 months, we're going to see major data breaches and compromises in the corporate world.
Derek, just to close off with as a broad kind of thought on this, if things are going more towards the digital side, and we've had this kick in the butt of, as you were saying, the Generation Xers who now are clicking onto this. How can you see the business developing, say, over the next 3 to 5 years?
I think there are many opportunities for us to continue with what Discovery's always been brilliant at, which is launching innovative products, and particularly innovative integrated and composite financial products, and to make those far easier for people to understand and use using digital media. It is just far easier using particularly artificial intelligence and machine learning and our data science capabilities integrated with digital media to give people very rapid turnarounds on very complex topics. One of the things we launched just a few weeks ago to our intermediary community was something called AutoQuote, where we can turn around a quote very quickly, and that's because we can scan in existing policies that that user may have using artificial intelligence. In this case, we're actually using Google's imaging engine to do this. So that kind of technology takes something that people would have been used to a couple of days, maybe a 48-hour turnaround time to get a quote, and we can now give them a quote within minutes. And that sort of integration between the digital channels and then the data and the artificial intelligence capability, and in some instances in our short-term insurance business, also bringing in the Internet of Things, that fourth industrial revolution, as people like to call it, I think will completely change the way in which we distribute insurance products and financial services products, and the way in which both the intermediary and the member organizations and the members themselves consume those products.